I'm Rebecca.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 197. And after quite a few episodes being away, guess who's back with us?
It's me. I'm very glad to be back. How have you been?
I've been okay. I've been working mostly from home, but coming in every week, except last week I did the podcast alone because, you know, our dear colleague Brian is off in his second favorite country, or is it his first? I don't know. Maybe Ireland.
He does love Ireland. It's true.
And I would say it's the Guinness, but it's probably the Guinness.
It might be the golf.
And the golf. Guinness, golf, and the green, the three G's. But he's back next week, and he'll have stories to tell, I'm sure, so it'll be fun to hear from him.
Yeah. Well, should we move on to the news?
Yeah, because this one is just the most confounding news item ever, and I've got some experience to talk about, so.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
As Griff has hinted, there is one interesting and it's slightly perplexing news item this week. It's about the changes to shipping packages to Germany. So I'm going to go ahead and read this straight from the Seller News post that we posted last week. The 2019 Packaging Act, also known as VRPAC-G, requires business sellers to license the packaging for their products and register with the Lucid database when they sell items to customers in Germany. Starting from July 1st, 2022, we are legally obligated to ensure that our sellers are complying with these new regulations. To be compliant, there are four steps you must complete, which are, first, you have to register online with the Lucid database and obtain a unique identification number. Second, you have to create an account with a dual system. We recommend our licensing partner, Leeson Zero, which offers a straightforward way to license your packaging digitally. Third, you have to ensure that your packing materials are recyclable. And finally, fourth, you have to add your Lucid number to your business profile on My eBay.
Oy.
It's a lot of steps.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But this is what Germany is requiring us to have sellers do.
Yeah, we want to make that clear, right, Rebecca? This is not an eBay initiative.
Yep. This is one of those things about, you know, selling overseas.
Yeah.
Okay. So the post goes on to mention all of the information needed for registering with Lucid. It tells you what information you need to add to your eBay account and what happens if a seller doesn't register with Lucid. And Griff, you said to me before we went on the air that you actually gave this a whirl.
I did.
And tried to follow the steps provided in the post. Okay, so how did it go?
Well, the first thing that happened is my credit cards got locked. Okay. So this is a pay service. In being in compliance and registering with this third party, and the eBay suggested third party is Leeson Pro. There's others, but the problem is Leeson Pro is the only one that presents the information in English. It was the most complicated thing I've ever done in my life, and I still haven't finished the process.
Oh, heck.
So while I was doing it, I'm wondering, okay, I'm going to go through all these steps, and I check in the My eBay business section, there is now a place for entering your Lucid number. But what isn't clear in the post is exactly what happens if you don't complete this process. Do your items not show up for sale in Germany, which I think is the case? And one of the questions we got that we're going to address after we talk to our guest this week was about GSP, the Global Shipping Program. How does that work? The upshot is I've asked the shipping team to maybe, if they can, provide more details on things like who has to complete this process, because they make a distinction between B2C and C2C sellers, and how the new German requirement impacts the global shipping program. And we didn't get it in time for this week, but for next week, we should have more clarification, and hopefully we'll have more information to provide. I have no answers right now for you.
Interesting. But, you know, I expect that we will get some questions. We'll see sellers with questions. I know we have one at the end to answer. So I guess this is more of a watch this space.
Watch this space. Very good.
And Griff will be back with more information when we get that from the shipping team.
So now that we've totally confused, upset you, and got you all anxious, it'll be time for us to talk to our two guests this week. I'm very excited about our guests.
I can't wait to talk to them. They have such a great story. I really love it. And keep listening, because I think you listeners will enjoy the story as well.
Due to the pandemic, eBay's full-on annual live and in-person event, known for several years now as eBay Open, went totally online in 2020 and 2021. eBay Open remains a popular event, and this year the event will again be online. So look for more news on that.
We are actually hoping to explore some ways of bringing some in-person portions to eBay Open, but yes, it is going to be online. But we know how much people love to be in person, so last fall, two adventurous sellers hosted an actual live event in Las Vegas, and two of my team, Brian and Sheila, were there. The event, known as the Boss Reseller Remix, was a huge success, and those two adventurous sellers are here with us now to talk about the next remix happening in October. They're also going to share their eBay selling experiences and talk about the nature of their businesses on eBay. Welcome, Vicki Egan and Katie Zilverberg.
Hello.
Hello.
Very excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I'm very excited because I'm also going to attend the event this year, and I can't wait because it's been a long time since I've been to an event.
Ooh, can I invite myself along as well?
I didn't invite myself. They did.
Oh, well, we're super excited to have you come, Griff. We can't wait. Griff's going to be hosting some podcast interviews and talking to people and doing his usual schmoozing. Griff is like eBay royalty. People are going to be very excited that you're going to be there in person at the event.
And you'd better be there, Rebecca.
I'll be in the red robe with the ermine lining and a crown.
Yes, absolutely. You can hold court for sure.
Well, enough about me. Hey, before we get started, because a lot of folks do know the two of you, but some don't. How long have you been selling on eBay?
I've been selling on eBay since 1998, and I've been full-time since 2009, 2010, around there.
Long time.
I'm an OG seller, for sure.
OG?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been dabbling in selling for a long time, but I started really selling on eBay at the end of 2015. My first sale was in December, and I was full-time halfway into 2016 and been doing it ever since.
Tell us what you sell. Vicki, will you go first?
I sell a little bit of everything. I started out when I lived in New England selling antiques and collectibles, which were obviously all over the place there. And now that I live in Las Vegas and have for the last 9 years, I've switched my method of selling and what I sell because it's a lot harder to get old things out here. But I sell a lot of vintage women's clothing. I tend to focus on vintage women's clothing, but I'll sell pretty much anything that can make a buck.
Yeah, and I'm very niche and I sell just men's clothing, vintage, probably 99% vintage. So a lot of vintage streetwear, mostly t-shirts, sweatshirts. It's all very cool these days. It's all the rage. Or it slaps, as the kids say.
I know. It's amazing. You're in a market that is like really hot right now. One of the questions that we know our listeners love to hear about is that decision to go from part-time to full-time. Will you tell us a little bit about making that leap?
Prior to my eBay reselling life, I was a mortgage broker. And I was a mortgage broker back when the market was very hot, and I did very well as a mortgage broker. And as most people know, the economy crashed in around 2008. I was already selling on eBay part-time and doing very well part-time. That was my fun money. And at the time, I decided, well, I guess I'm done with this career, so let me see what I can do going forward. It took me a couple of years to fully replace that. I used to call it the stupid mortgage money because we made so much money in a field that was not that difficult at the time. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. But it took me a couple of years to replace the stupid mortgage money, but I did get there. And I also went back to school at that time and was pursuing a career in nursing alongside selling online. That was pretty much what made me do it. I didn't have a lot of choice because my market kind of crashed and I knew selling and I had been selling online already. And I just took the extra time and ramped that up and into a real business.
Your experience as a mortgage broker, does that help you or inform the way you run a business on eBay?
I think it has helped me understand the business and the financial aspect of it a little bit more than some people, yet the two fields couldn't have less to do with each other. You know, selling vintage women's clothing and helping people purchase or refinance multi-million dollar homes, they're two entirely different things.
Katie, what's your experience?
My career before I started selling on eBay, I was actually an executive director of a Habitat for Humanity affiliate back in Oregon. And I had left that job late 2015 to start my own business as a marketing consultant for small businesses. And back then, Oregon had this program where you could get unemployment while you were starting your own business. And so I had 6 months basically to make this business work. And then right at the beginning of it was when I discovered eBay. And I realized very quickly that I could turn eBay into a viable business. And so I kind of just put everything into it. And, you know, after 6 months, the unemployment ran out. And basically, it took me 8 months to get to where I was like fully sustainable as a full-time eBay seller. So I had a couple months there where it was a little lean and I was having a little bit of struggles. Then I got into fourth quarter and it was all gravy after that.
things are kind of volatile in the economy. There's price increases, supply chain problems, the possibility of recession, interest rates are changing. Like, there is a lot going on. And so I think it would be interesting to hear how that's impacting your approach to your business, or even just how it's impacting your business right now.
I think that because of the challenges in the economy that I think we're all experiencing and feeling, sales are down a little bit. And combine that with the fact that it is summertime and the summer slowdown is a real thing, depending on what you sell. The majority of sellers do see a slowdown. However, the best way to try and combat that is to use all of the tools that are available in your toolbox. You make your money in your buy. So make sure that you're purchasing items for resale at the right margin, at the right time, and in the right manner. That's more important than ever. The long tail sell is a good way to sell. That's how I sell. But sometimes when the market is as volatile as it is right now, you may have to look outside of your comfort zone and try to find something that's going to be a fast flip or a fast sell just to keep your sales going and just to keep the market going. Running sales on your items, working off of maybe smaller margins than you're used to, depending on what you're selling, maybe go for more volume than higher margin sales right now. And also, you have to just reassess what is selling in the market. The market changes all the time. When I started selling 20 some odd years ago, selling china and antiques, that was all the rage. And those were the buyers. And right now, those buyers are dwindling. And that type of selling and sales is not going to sustain a full-time income necessarily. So you have to pivot with the times. You have to be open to change. You have to be open to learning about the market trends and trying to keep up with them. And that is really hard because we're all creatures of habit, right? I think being open to change and learning what is going to sell for you in this market is one of the most important things. And that's something you can learn by being in Facebook groups and reading retail magazines online, of course, because nobody holds real a magazine anymore. But those types of things will help you figure out what is selling and what the market is pushing for right now.
So this leads me to a question, actually, if I can flip over to you, Katie. Besides just looking at your margins and looking at your profit, what metrics do you track to know that your business is successful?
I just know for me, it's more about like, can I pay my bills and can I save money this month?
That's a really honest answer, though.
I mean, that would be a really good question for Teresa Cox, or T-Money, as we call her. And she's actually the third person in our partnership in putting on the remix. And man, does she love numbers. But I know for me, you know, being the only person that's running my business, as Vicky and I have separate stores, you know, I really do look at that kind of sell through and what kind of revenue I have coming in each month, how I look compared to last month, how quickly I'm able to turn stuff over, and also the flow of my sourcing. I've had lean months where not only are my sales down, but I'm also having a hard time finding the items that I need to sell. Right now, I've got an overflowing pile. So to me, that feels pretty good. But I will say, you know, going back to the remix, what we've realized as we kind of put together our content is that the theme coming through that's coming through really strong that goes along with this question is basically the whole idea of rethinking entirely what it means to be a reseller, because we all have to do that right now as things change, as, you know, more people come into the marketplace as sellers, as buyers, as there's more options out there for buyers, we're having to completely rethink how we do things. We're having to be adaptable. And that's the only way that we can survive and thrive and be super successful in this landscape, which I think is still very, very possible. It's just a different game.
So you operate your own businesses, but you're in the same location. Mm-hmm. How does that work from an operations standpoint?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I've been selling for a long time, and Katie has been selling for a long time as well. So we are partners in life, but not partners in business. We're partners in business when it comes to the reseller remix. We actually have, as I said, our third partner is Teresa Cox, who many of the eBay listeners may know. She is our third partner in the business, but I handle my business and Katie handles hers, and never the twixt shall meet, because we all have very different ways of doing business. We're both very headstrong. We're both very organized in different ways. And I think if we ever tried to combine our businesses, one of us would not make it out alive.
It's true. We're both very stubborn, and we both think that we know exactly the right way to do everything.
I know everything. So I don't know about you.
It makes it a lot easier. But you know what? It's kind of, we have the best of both worlds, because we have our separate businesses that we have complete control over. But because we do the same thing and we're in the same house, we're able to, You know, it's like we get to hang out with each other all day. We get to go sourcing together. We get to talk about our problems. Like, we totally get each other and where we're coming from, but we don't have the stress of, you know, okay, I have to tell her what to do, or she's got to tell me what to do. You know, there's some things that mix, like, you know, I'm the IT department. She's not good with tech stuff. So if something goes wrong, I'm the one that's fixing it. But yeah, it's great. We love it. It's really fun. We get to work together all the time.
We just recently moved. And because we recently moved, we upgraded to a much bigger house. And that actually helps us a lot, too. Because we have two huge businesses, I have over 4,000 items in my stores. And Katie has, I think, about 3,000 items. So we've moved to a home where 50% of our home is business related, with as far as we have a 3-car garage, we each have our own offices, we each have a shipping area, and we didn't have to let it encroach on our home, our the everyday home.
You know, it's so interesting to me. You were talking about how having each other to commiserate with and to celebrate with and go sourcing with, those things. It's really about having community with each other and being able to share the experience of selling on a marketplace like eBay together. And that's one of the reasons why the kinds of events like eBay Open, like the Reseller Remix that you guys run, why it's so important to have these for other sellers. So will you tell us a little bit about what this year's plans are for the event in Las Vegas and what you think is it's going to be like this year?
Last year was our proof of concept year, right? We knew that we wanted to do it. We knew how to execute it. We just wanted, you know, if you build it, they will come. We had to make sure that people wanted to buy tickets and attend something like that. We did feel that there was a void when eBay Open went online. Sellers really, really enjoy getting together in person, and that sense of community is really important. And then COVID happened, and everybody lost their sense of community in general, I think. So last year was kind of just coming out of that darkness. And this year, hopefully, will be, you know, full on bright sunlight. But we should have just about 400 attendees, and we have a lot of panelists coming. We have other resellers and professionals in the community coming to teach about what they do well and how they do it. And we have a lot of great sponsors, and eBay being one coming back and helping us out. And they're going to be there in force. I'm hearing there's lots of different employees that are wanting to come and attend, and we're happy to have you there. Last year was about community, like you said. Last year was about fostering community and bringing the community together. And this year is about taking it a step further, as Katie said, and teaching people how to reinvent themselves and how to think outside their comfort zones in order to succeed.
Well, and that's, I think, is really important. It's hard to quantify what you get out of an event like this where you're, you know, with all these other sellers. But really, it's about, to me, it's about the inspiration and the motivation. And people will be telling their story, and something you that's never occurred to you to do as a reseller, you get that spark, and it completely changes how you look at what you do and what you want to do with your business. And so we think that that is going to happen a lot this year. And we're going to be looking at, you know, things like time management, building a social media presence and a brand for yourself, creating your own selling spaces online and in person. There's just going to be a lot of like amazing topics and things that we're going to be going over. And we're going to get to see some really cool stuff. Like eBay is going to be sending some of their shoe authenticators who are based here in Vegas. And we're going to have a panel on selling shoes
for all those sneakerheads that are attending.
And we're going to have a session that's going to be all about scaling up. And so just a lot of those things that people are interested in hearing about. And then we're going to have some sessions that people are going to have no idea what's happening, and they're going to be inspired and go like, wow, that's something you can do with your business. You can make that happen. I think it's just going to be really exciting, and we're really looking forward to it.
We already know when. It's the 10th through the 13th. What's the venue? Are there arrangements for overnight at the venue itself?
The venue is the Blind Center of Nevada. It's an amazing nonprofit that we've been partnering with for a while now. And what's one of the really unique things about them is they actually have a very large eBay operation that's part of where they get their revenue, dealing in electronics and recycled electronics. They do not have sleeping arrangements there unless you bring a sleeping bag and want to sleep on the hard floor. But they are just 2 miles from downtown Las Vegas, the Fremont area, which to me is the best part of Vegas. It's where we take all of our friends when they come into town.
Old Vegas.
Is that the street with the lights over it?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And what's great about that area is you're basically like in this spot where you can walk within like 2 minutes to about 6 different casinos and hotels. And it's really fun. There's 3 stages with live music every night. It's just a crazy, crazy time.
three of the four nights we have planned group outings and events as part of the conference that you can elect to attend or not. Mm-hmm. But we like to bring the fun to the conference as well as the learning.
And the drinking and the gambling.
Oh, all
well,
of it.
Of course. It is Vegas. Come on now.
And the tourists. Every time I go to Vegas, my favorite thing to do is watch.
The people well, watching is fantastic.
It's amazing. It really is next level.
Especially at 2 a.m. In the casino, sitting in front of the slots, just in a zombie-like trance.
There's no better place to people watch than Fremont Street with all the buskers there and the entertainers. We actually just went the other night with some friends that came into town to get married in Vegas, as you do. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy who was doing this crazy kind of strongman routine where he had these stacks of layers of like glasses that you drink water out of. Like it went up like 6 feet in the air and he climbed up to the top of it.
A Ukrainian acrobat.
It was nuts.
It was fantastic. Wow.
And he was, and his shoulders were jacked. It was ridiculous.
We're trying to hire him. For our event.
Oh, as the entertainment.
I love that. Yep. Hey, busking on Fremont Street is tightly regulated. You have these little circles.
They do have circles now.
Mm-hmm. And you have to book your time. And it's not easy being a busker.
No, it's a hustle for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you both go outsourcing. And I'm curious to know what it's like when the two of you are outsourcing together. Are you in competition for merchandise?
Sometimes healthy competition. Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, Katie doesn't sell anything other than what her niche market is. So I tend to give her, if we go into a thrift store or garage sale or an estate sale, I tend to give her a wide berth for that category of items. And I let her go and take her fill first. However, if I happen to get somewhere where she's not, we will throw down over a vintage t-shirt, you know, sometimes.
But it's true. But the reality is when we source together, it's more for fun because we kind of have our other sources now that are more regular that we don't necessarily do together. But when we're like at a thrift store or something, like I know what stuff she likes. I know what stuff excites her more. And so if I see something I know she's going to want, I'll grab it for her and vice versa. For the most part, there isn't a whole lot of competition there, you know, because I do have kind of my set area that I'm going to look in and then I'm pretty much done after that. And then it's time to go scouting for Vicky.
We've learned a lot about your businesses. We know now about the Boss Reseller Remix, but Griff, I think we have buried the lead here. How did you guys meet?
So we knew each other just casually as acquaintances through seller communities online, you know, in Facebook groups and stuff like that. But we met officially at eBay Open 2017, where I was a Shine Award winner. And she was really impressed with that and immediately fell in love with me.
Oh, yeah, that was it. That was
and clear. It was
that's
the award.
Story. Clearly,
it was
that
the shiny
was the
award.
Point.
Shiny award, yeah.
You seem like a nice person, but this award just
this
really
award.
Does it for me.
Seriously, the award was like the icing on the cake.
I mean, and my super cool mohawk I had.
Oh, I remember that mohawk.
God-awful mohawk, a god-awful Hawaiian t-shirt. I don't know how the heck.
I like that mohawk.
I was smart to set the bar low at the beginning so she can't ever complain about what I'm wearing. I'm like, you knew what you were signing up for, lady. All right, you want to tell the real story?
That was pretty much the real story. We met at eBay Open and we just really clicked and connected and we got together not that long after that. We've been together since
fall of 2017.
Fall of 2017.
It seems like years ago, doesn't it?
It does.
It's almost 5 years. I mean, almost 5 years now. And we're finally getting married. We're getting married in December.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, that's fantastic. In Las Vegas, I assume.
Of course.
Of course.
At the Mob Museum, no less. The 20s speakeasy.
I love everything you're saying. That's amazing. Congratulations.
What is the Mob Museum? Is it near Fremont, right?
It is near
it
Fremont.
It is near Fremont. It is.
And are you going to dress the parts?
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of going a little Gatsby theme. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. That'll work. One other thing I wanted to ask, because I know that you have a YouTube channel.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put links to that. When you become high visibility eBay sellers for any market, for any niche, you end up having to give a lot of advice. So I'm assuming you're good at that. And what kind of advice do you give to people who are just starting out on their entrepreneurial journey and they're thinking of eBay? What do you tell them?
The most important bit of advice that I can give anyone that is about to start on their eBay journey or anyone who feels like they want to step up their eBay game as far as a seller is to surround yourself with like-minded individuals. We talked about community. Community is probably the most important thing to help you in this business. There are lots of people that are going to offer to teach you how to do things, and there's lots of different courses that are, you know, worth their weight. But I think a lot of the information, or the majority of the information that you need to learn as a seller, is available for free out there. And there are lots of other sellers that are willing to impart with their knowledge and their skills and help you learn. I suggest joining Facebook groups, watching YouTube channels, and finding the people that speak to you, right? There's somebody for everybody. I may not be your cup of tea. Katie may not be your cup of tea, and that's okay. But there will be somebody out there that is public and is teaching that you do understand, that you do vibe with, that you do connect with. And those are the people that you want to learn from and emulate.
And I would be remiss not to add, you can also join the eBay community and follow our YouTube channel.
Of course.
Listen to the podcast.
Well, we assume people are listening now, or they're not getting any of this. So. Right.
Very true. And I would add, you know, one of the biggest things I tell people is that if you want to do this full time, you need to actually treat it like a business and treat it like you are basically an employee of yourself, because people love to source, but they don't necessarily like the listing part. And it's like, you got to find a good balance. You can't just be sourcing. You need to be listing, and you need to always be learning. And if you look at yourself as an employee, you know, can you say that you'd fire yourself or you'd give yourself a promotion?
That's a very good question. I actually think I might write myself up. I think.
You're on probation.
I got an email from eBay this week, one of those emails, the first time in 25 years. It said, your listing is about to be removed for search manipulation. And I went into a kind of panic. They didn't tell me which one, but I figured it out. But after that, I thought, you know, I really should go sit in a corner for an hour or something.
You're in trouble.
First time ever. It was great. Great experience.
Well, before we wrap up, why don't you go ahead and do a shout out for your various channels, your store name, the Reseller Remix, like do the whole suite.
Yeah. So our YouTube channel is Katie and Vicky. It's very simple to remember. The biggest thing to know with the Boss Reseller Remix is the website is resellerremix.com. And we would suggest that you follow us on Instagram at Boss Reseller Remix, because that's where you're going to see the most updates. And as we said, tickets are going on sale July 1st. We don't know what's going to happen as far as how quickly they're going to sell out. We do anticipate selling out this year. And everyone who attended last year is going to actually have 48 hours prior to buy their tickets. So they're actually going to be going on sale on the 29th, because we really want to thank and reward the people who believed in us the first time around without having any idea of what to expect from us.
They just said, take my money. We like you. Which was really nice. Yeah. Which was really nice.
Very mm-hmm. true. So we're really excited. And we would just say, you know, just follow us, sign up for the email on the website, and, you know, make sure you're in the loop. It's going to be a really, really, really fun event this year.
I think we were afraid that we weren't going to be able to top last year's, but I think we're easily going to top last year's concept.
Absolutely.
So we're very excited.
I have a sneaking suspicion you're right. I bet you will sell out, because the word of mouth last year was just incredible.
We could not have done this without Teresa, our partner, and the three of us make a really good team. So
yeah, we call her the bossiest of all the bosses. She is the one who created the whole Boss brand, and we love her, and she's really great.
Anything you want to add before we sign off, Rebecca?
No, just a huge thank you for being here and talking with us today. We really appreciate your time. And I am so excited about attending the event in October.
Oh, you're going to be there?
I'm going to try to. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I heard that you loved the Denver event. So
it was amazing.
I think it's going to be great. It's the best thing for eBay employees is to get physically in front of other sellers. And I know that you guys all love it as much as we do. So.
Well, I want to thank you both for taking time out of your busy businesses to sit down and talk to us both about your businesses and also about the Boss Reseller Remix.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having us and helping to talk about it.
Vicky Egan and Katie Silverberg are the founders of the Boss Reseller Remix event in Las Vegas. We'll put the links to their websites, including the page for the upcoming Las Vegas event, in the transcript for episode 197.
You've got questions.
We've got answers. And our first question this week is about shipping to Germany, of course. Rebecca, why don't you do the honors?
You got it. eBay seller Sammy emailed podcast@ebay.com with the following question. Hello. Quick question about VRPAC G. And again, that's the name of this new legislation, right? And, you know, I wanted to call up really briefly, the whole point of the legislation really is about making sure that sellers are using recyclable materials. So like fair dues to Germany for wanting to make that change. But it is a complication.
Yeah, it's a big complication, but the intent is definitely, that's the right intent.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the question. Sammy asks, I know that I need to be compliant, even though I only sell internationally via eBay's global shipping program. So is there a way to exclude Germany from GSP for my store, or do I need to discontinue my use of GSP entirely? Thanks so much, Sammy. eBay ID, it's easier than you think with asterisks in between each word.
Great user ID.
I
won't forget that one.
Yeah.
Well, Sammy, I initially emailed you a response telling you how to use the alternate shipping option in the global shipping program to eliminate any countries, including Germany, from the global shipping program when you ship. But as I mentioned at the top of the episode, after reading the June 22nd announcement about this new requirement, I understand your question better, and I didn't know about this when I answered it. So I emailed Sammy, Rebecca, and I asked him to stay tuned, watch this space. I'll have a better answer for you, and I'll send it out to Sammy and everyone with regards to this new requirement. As we mentioned at the top of the episode, once I hear back from the shipping team, how this new German law impacts global shipping, as well as all aspects of selling on eBay, we'll let you know here on the next episode of the podcast.
What I'm really wondering about, Griff, is a seller who only makes like a couple, three sales a year to a buyer who's in Germany. It seems like this whole new requirement shouldn't be an issue. It should be for bigger sellers, but it sounds like we don't really know yet.
Well, we don't. You'd think that this would just be for bigger sellers. The way it's set up when I went to register, it seems to be for bigger sellers. And even on the German website, there's a link that says something about this is not for private sellers. So I don't understand that. I don't really have the details. And I'm loath, as you can imagine, to actually say much more than that. But for me, for you, and all of the listeners out there, as soon as we have more details, we're going to present them on the podcast.
Okay. So next question was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by seller Nathan. Hey guys, my name is Nathan. I've been selling on eBay as an occasional hobby seller for more than 10 years. I recently had a buyer reach out to me, and they said that they could not buy an item from me that had a 10-day shipping time. My eBay shipping policy is set to 2 days, so I was confused about what she was trying to tell me. So I asked her to take a screenshot and send it to me. I also included an offer with this message. She immediately purchased the item through my offer and sent me a picture that said, I, the seller, do not allow multiple purchases within a 10-day time frame. Come to find out, she had recently purchased from my store and was getting this message. Is there a way to turn this off? I honestly can't think of a time that I would want to block a returning customer from purchasing again. My eBay store is the old paint factory, and I would love a shiny new eBay mug to sip coffee from on my first day as a full-time eBay small business owner on July 1st.
Oh, wow.
I think we can hook him up with a mug. Oh, there's a PS, Griff.
What?
He goes on to say, tell the listeners that the number one best tool for a hobby seller or full-time seller is a nice thermal printer.
Yes!
My Rollo has been my best friend for the last couple of years, and my wife and I love it.
Like, sounds like it's a member of the family now.
I know. Thanks for the question, Nathan. It sounds like your buyer requirement settings are blocking this buyer from purchasing, repurchasing like that. You can navigate to your buyer requirement page by going to My eBay, clicking on Selling Preferences, clicking on Your Buyers, and clicking on Blocked Buyer List. We'll also pop the URL for that into the transcripts, but if you want to go there directly, it's www.ebay.com/BMGT/buyer requirements.
Yeah, it'll take you right there.
Yeah. On that page, you'll see settings for buyer management. The buyer requirement section of that page is an option for blocking buyers who have made a certain number of purchases from you within the last 10 days. You can increase or decrease that number. You can also uncheck that box. And another option is to add the buyer's user ID to your buyer exemption.
Nathan, you may be wondering what this is all about. Why do you need buyer management? All these buyer management settings are primarily legacy options from the days way back when immediate payment was not an option and something called at the time non-paying buyers could be an issue for a lot of sellers. On seller's request, eBay provided these options for controlling who can bid and buy based on things like feedback and the number of purchases already made, the number of times an unpaid item has been filed recently. A lot of you'll see these on this page. Although the unpaid item issue is not nearly as big as it was at the time, given the effectiveness of immediate payment required, we kept these buyer management options because at the moment, many sellers really prefer to keep using them for things like their auction format listings, which for immediate pay, it's not an option yet. It could be, but it's not an option right now. And finally, this week, we have a question from our voice line at 888-723-4630. Let's give a listen.
This is Brian, and my eBay store is Souls for Souls 7. That's S-O-L-E-S, number 4, SOULS, number 7. I'm an eBay clothing seller, and I have a question about white backgrounds and whether or not it is important. I've heard that white backgrounds can help your item show up higher in the search. And I know specifically this may be true for Google, but I'm in a group and there's been a lot of discussion. A lot of people are using gray backgrounds, and I'm just curious if this is something I should be doing and what are the benefits of using white. And if it doesn't matter, should I be using gray or another color? Thanks for all the content you provide.
Ryan, white backgrounds are a big discussion all the time. And I got to tell you, in my view, they're optimal. You should always be using them if it's possible. And that's not to say that a gray background is going to like lower your listings in search. But ask yourself, how do retail clothing sellers present their apparel online? Except for those few companies, and I get their mail order catalogs, they have a fairly elaborate stage set, for example, for their apparel. Like it's against, you know, it's on a dock of a beach and there's, you know, worn pine wall and they're showing off their summer wear. Except for those, all of the online sellers, retailers use white backgrounds. So I say a white background is your best bet. Rebecca, what's your take?
I agree with you, Griff, especially for that first image. It's most important there to have a white background. If you want what you were trying to describe, Griff, I think is called a lifestyle image where you kind of see the item and it's aspirational in some way and beautiful in the background. Sure, you can add that, you know, maybe after the first few pictures. But we know that our benevolent overlord, Google, really prefers to have those white backgrounds. And so the recommendation is to use those white backgrounds because we want to make sure that listings have the best chance possible to show up in those external searches. And, you know, I know so many sellers who say that it really helped their business when they bought the word isn't light box. What is it? When they bought one of those little photography boxes.
Yeah, a light cube.
A light cube. Yeah. And so if you're, you know, struggling a bit with having a white background at home, you can just use a sheet. Lots of sellers just, you know, set up a sheet or a plain piece of poster board like you can get at the dollar store. That's perfectly reasonable. You know, at some point it may become important to invest in a light box. Wait, what did you call it?
Well, there's the light cubes.
Light cube.
But for,
dang it.
For clothing, sometimes you need something bigger, and there are bigger setups. And I can point you to some possible solutions. There's a lot of people on YouTube that have videos. I should have a YouTube video about this. And who knows, maybe I will. But in the meantime, if you have questions about how to make your background appear more white, we're always happy to help. But that being said, again, I agree with Rebecca. Of course, I agree with myself. But what ultimately makes your item look really good and pop is almost all the time going to be a white background.
Yeah,
it just does it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And don't forget that eBay has tools to help you fix up those images even more. So definitely, especially if you're listing in the app, take advantage of those tools to, you know, dial up the brightness, erase smudges. We got to be honest about what we're selling, but erase smudges. Make things look fabulous because we know that sellers, they browse visually.
Buyers, you mean?
All right, we're getting a little punchy here, so let's wrap it up. Do you have a question about selling on eBay? Why not call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. 888-723-4630. Call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or a comment, and we just might put it on the air, on the air, on the air.
I feel like we should have like noisemakers and wacky sounds that we play here.
Yeah, it's AM, FM radio all
exactly.
over again.
Drive time radio right here. Listen, if you're the shy type and you prefer not to leave a voice message, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And that's it for this week. But before we sign off, as always, here's your 3-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news every day.
Yeah, and talking about the announcement board, stay tuned for more information on shipping to Germany.
And do you need to review anything in this episode? It's super easy. You just check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow up on what you've heard and to find the links that we've referenced during the episode.
In our next episode, Brian will be back from vacation and we'll go through a stack of questions that have been waiting in the queue, including a few voice call-in questions. And we'll have some updates about the new shipping to Germany. I hope.
And we'd like to thank again our guests this week, Vicki Egan and Katie Silverberg.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.